All right, well, good morning, everybody. It's a great thing to be back here at Mansfield Christian Church and have the ability to worship God this week after an eventful one with the snow coming in and the weather. And man, I had almost two weeks off of college, which was something to be had. And as I was driving in this morning, we had some sunshine, some almost 40-degree weather. And it was just a joy to see a temperature above zero on the gauge. And so we can be joyful in that today. Now, as we're going to get started today, since it's been a couple of weeks, I figured I'd remind you kind of where we're at. We're preaching this series on the life of David. And so 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, the last time we were able to meet, we talked about how David, in the beginning of his life, was in a season of preparation. If we remember, he was anointed to be the king to replace Saul, yet he didn't actually take that role. He went back to work in the field to prepare for the role that he had been called to. And so we settled on this thought that there was power in preparation. So let's start with a question today. Has there ever been anything that ever scared you? I'm sure that's a yes for everybody, and I'm no different. And so I want to tell a little story about something that scared me. So let's start by setting the scene here. 18 years old, just graduated high school in the beloved Army basic training. And there's this small obstacle course that they do at the very beginning, and they have this giant tower called the Confidence Tower. And you have to rappel down it. And this tower is 70 or so foot, so maybe 75 foot tall. And you're walking, and it's made of wood. And I didn't realize this until the time came, but I'm terrified of heights. And so here we go climbing up, and we have to tie these little safety deals around us, and we're getting roped up, and it's our time to climb down. And so it's wild, right? Because weeks before this, I'm throwing a live hand grenade, and I was okay with that. I'm shooting shooting different firearms, and I'm okay with that. Even went into a gas chamber, and I'm okay with that. Taking my mask off in a gas chamber. But climbing to the top of a wooden tower with a rope attached to me where chances are very unlikely that I hurt myself, I'm terrified. And so we climbed all of these steps. It's a big staircase to get to the top. We're climbing, walking up these steps. And we get to the top. And one by one, everybody's climbing to the edge and going down. And soon I hear a call, late, get over here. And so suddenly my heart starts racing, and it's my time to go, right? So I go back to the edge of this rappel wall, and then they have metal coping on the edge of it. And so I place my feet on the coping, and I prepare to do my rappel. If you guys have your Bibles today, let's turn to 1 Samuel 17:42. We're gonna talk about this infamous battle that everybody knows, David versus Goliath. And so it's a large section of text here, so just bear with me. And so we see in verse 42 it says, "And when the Philistines looked out and saw David, and when the Philistine looked out and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth, ruddy, good-looking, and of fair skin. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods." Now this is a really cool or a really important section, because The Philistine they're talking about is obviously Goliath, the big giant that David was about to face, and he's He's praying to his gods. Now, the Philistines worship multiple gods. David has the one true God. And so that's an important thing to note when looking at this text. And the Philistines said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." And then David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear, with a shield, but I have come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Now this is neat because we know later, and we'll get there, that David cuts the Philistine's head off to show that he had defeated. And that was the time or the way of the day to cut the enemy's head off and present it sort of as a war trophy, as you would say. Goliath is saying to David, "You're not going to get that honor. I'm going to cut you up, and I'm not even going to take your head. I'm just going to let the birds eat you because it's not worthy of that to me. You're not going to be able to defeat me." And David's also saying he has God on his side, whom by worshiping these multiple gods, by detesting to these gods that Goliath would defeat David, he has defied the one true God. And we pick up again in verse 46, it says, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God of Israel. And this assembly shall know the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Now, this is another little historical background piece to look at, because we see that the Philistines weren't wanting to fight the Israelites. They sent David out. This was supposed to be a battle of the two best people, the two best warriors of each area. So the Israelites sent out David, the Philistines sent out Goliath, and they were going to fight each other. And so this is kind of like slander. They're kind of talking smack back and forth, and David's saying, "I'm going to cut your head off," and Goliath saying, "Oh, no, you're not, pretty boy. You're not going to come near me. You're just a young little kid." And so we pick back up in verse 48, and it says, "And it came to pass when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David harnessed and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine." And in verse 49, "And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon the face to the earth." So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath, and slew him, and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. So we get this, in this text, we kind of get this image of Goliath. He was a huge man. I often, like if I was trying to picture something in person now, a lot of scholars seem to think he's about the size of Shaquille O'Neal, if you've ever seen that man. He's a very, very large man. And if you put him against a normal person, it's mind-blowing. And so that's an image that comes to mind. And he comes talking all kinds of mess to David. He's saying, "Oh, you're short, you're pretty, you're not any match for me. You don't even have a sword, no armor. How can you possibly come close to battling me?" But we know in a few verses prior to this that David doesn't have any armor because King Saul tried to give him armor, and he said, "I didn't practice with this, so I'm going to take what I know with me to battle." He didn't feel comfortable with what he had prepared with. And so I like this. David fires a witty comeback to Saul, and the battle begins. He says, he just talks about how Goliath had not worshiped the true God, but many gods. And so we get our first thought here right at the end of the text. And I think it's key to understand that we must walk forward to face adversity. See, David was the only Israelite willing to fight Goliath. Everybody else was scared. Even David's brothers wouldn't fight him. David wasn't even supposed to be fighting. In fact, he was running back and forth between his dad and the battle scene, bringing sandwiches. He was a lunch man. But yet he's here in the time and ready because he knows God has his back. It's also important to note that you can't win a fight with your back turned to whatever you're trying to fight. It's just a simple rule. It gives the enemy easy avenue of approach to attack you. When I was in the Army, we got to do some fun stuff called the Combatus Program, and you train some jiu-jitsu and some mixed martial arts stuff. And that was one of the things they told us: you never leave your back toward your opponent, because when you don't know what's coming, you can't defend or go against it. And so we see this with David. The author Malcolm Gladwell brings to light of walking in courage with this quote that I found, and I really enjoy it. He says, courage is not something that you already have that makes you brave when tough times start. Courage is what you earn when you've been through the tough times and realize they aren't so tough at all. Let's chew on this for a second. Like, if we walk into our own battles facing forward, then we must be walking in courage. See, David didn't turn away when he was asked to fight the battle. In fact, he had to face a small battle with the people who didn't even believe him or believe in him before he could even face the big battle. See, Saul said that David wasn't big enough. And he had these other people that said, oh no, you can't possibly go fight that giant. You're not qualified. Even Goliath himself was saying the same things. You're not big enough to fight this battle. But see, this is where we begin to see the courage that David had. But I can hear it now. You guys are saying, yeah, we get it. We need to walk in courage. But where does the strength come from? Where does the strength to create the courage come from? And so I think that the second point for today is that we must find our strength in Christ to fight. You know, courage doesn't grow on trees. It's not a can of spinach that we can just drink and our arms are going to get massive like Popeye. It's not some cartoon. It's something that takes a lot of effort. Isaiah teaches us this clearly in 41:10. He says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, this position of right hand is important to understand too, because this is the position of power in the middle or ancient Near East culture. When you're at the right hand, you're at the second to top position. And so God saying that he's going to place us there is of quite significance, right? He's saying, I'm going to place you at my right hand. I'm going to place you at the position of power right below me. And so that's significant to understand. But it's also important to understand that the strength that we make on our own will only get us so far. I like to picture this as like a gas tank. You can fill the gas up, but it's going to run out eventually. And if you can't fill more gas in there, then you're going to eventually not be able to go anywhere. And if we're going to run out of gas on our own, we need the strength of God to keep refilling that tank so we can keep going through the different struggles that we have, our different battles, our different giants that we face. See, David didn't go into this battle saying, by my own strength, I will defeat you. No, he says, the strength of the Lord, I will defeat you, so I can declare the name of the Lord everywhere. See, he gives us this example. He says, don't go into the battle without God, because you won't win. And even if you do win, the next battle you're not going to win. You can't keep winning battles without a reliance on Christ. And even when we win, we need to be there. We need to give the glory back to God, because he's the one that's helped us win these battles. See, when it's evident that our strength comes from the Lord, his name will be glorified in our actions. It's not just about the battles that we overcome. It's about how we face those battles and what we do with the results of our victories. See, we have to glorify God when we win our wars and let everybody else know this is how we won our battles. There's a great song lyric that I was listening to on the way here, and it's by a musician named Sean Curran, and he says, the song's called Fight My Battles, and it says, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And so we have to remember, no matter how many people are around us, no matter how big the battle, God is just as big or bigger than everything that we've come in contact with. There's nothing that God can't do. There's no battle that he can't defeat. There's no mountain that he can't move. And if we have a reliance on our God, then we will be able to push through anything that's come our way. Now we come back to me on the rappel tower. And I'm on the coping. I'm that old adage, shaking in my boots. I'm terrified. I have no idea what's coming. And I get to the edge, and I know, like, surely I could quit, and I could say, you know, I don't really want to do this, and then I'm not going to graduate basic training, and then I have to go back and figure out what the heck I'm going to do with my life. And so I prayed. And I, as I prayed, I just realized that God had me. God would allow me to do this and help me get through it. And so I took a literal leap of faith, jumped backwards, holding onto the rope, and here I am on my way. I felt relief because I had done the task, but not because I relied on my own strength or courage, but because I relied on God to provide me the strength and courage. If you learn nothing else from this sermon or hear nothing else, hear this. I don't care what the battle you're fighting is. It could be depression. It could be how you talk to other people, your attitude. It could be a number of things. If we face them head on and seek strength from God in doing so, we can win our battles. We can defeat the giant in front of us, but it won't be easy. If I could offer any sort of encouragement this week, it would be, when you face a trial or stress and you feel like you're standing in front of a giant, remember where your strength comes from. When that giant's in front of you, say a prayer. Prayer is something that is critical in this area. When you face something that's big, bigger than you thought, don't forget that God's bigger than anything. God can lead you through everything. And so I'd like to conclude today with some prayer. And so if you'd bow your heads, Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity to come here and to share your word and to bring a message of hope and a message of courage, and help us to provide us with the courage that when a giant comes, when a trial comes, that you will help us push through that and do so in a way that glorifies you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.